This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And it is a new day. And I am Rhett Palmer and excited to have Frank Clymer in the studio. That's C-L-Y-M-E-R. He has written a book called Growing Up and the Greatest Generation. What makes him entirely unique is that this whole book is the first 12 years of his life. He's 87 years of age now. The first 12 years of his life. Now, most people cannot go back with such clarity of mind. Back to when he was 12, writing about, of course, on the cover is a B-52. Is that what that is?
B-17.
B-17.
Bomber, yeah.
Bomber. It's in black and white. Title of the book is Growing Up in the Greatest Generation. First of all, what provoked you to write this book?
Well, it's of interest that I did not have an interest in writing a book.
You had no interest in writing a book.
No.
So now you have how many siblings?
They're six siblings.
Six. Now
I'm the oldest. Yeah.
You're the oldest because I saw a picture, and some of your siblings look considerably younger than you, but they were pushing for you to write a book. Why?
Well, they wanted to know what life was like in our home before they were born and when they were really small children,
mm-hmm.
and also what it was like in the community, and then especially what about the Second World War? You know. Because I had a great interest my whole life in the Second World War history. So I often would talk about it, and so they would be pumping me for information. And fortunately, I seem to have had a very good memory as a child, and I remember so many things that happened as a child. And that's how I look at the book. So the first 12 years of my life, I write about how I viewed the history using our community and family and especially the events, how I perceived them and saw them and lived them
as
a boy.
Now, so you might be interested in this. Your immediate family might be interested in this. Why write the book? Why do you think that the multitudes will get something out of this book? Did you have them in mind when you were writing it? And what do you hope they will get out of reading this book?
Yes, I think they will really enjoy it.
Why?
Well, for many reasons. I showed what America was like when I was growing up. For instance, when you went to the movie theater during the war, you stood and sang the national anthem while they showed the film of the flag on the screen. And before that, they had the newscast on radio. There was no television yet, of course. So they had the newscast a half hour before the movie so people could catch up with all the news that were going on, you know, in the war.
Now, you later on in life would become a Christian, a full-fledged, born-again, Bible-believing. And when you were younger, you went to a Lutheran church or what you would call a perfunctory, how did you put it? Let me write it down here. A liberal Protestant church.
Yes.
And so you knew about the Lord but did not know the Lord.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this first, and we'll go back to the beginnings of this book. And don't forget, we marvel at the fact that you have such a memory, but let's go forward. At what age did you come to a saving knowledge as Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, and not just a historical figure that you learned about in the pews of the Lutheran Church?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good question. I'm so glad you asked me that. And to me, it's a very interesting story because in the book, I talk about how God worked in my life as a boy and brought me to himself in different instances throughout my life. And
let's hear about one of those instances.
Okay.
Because one thing I do want to tell you, is this your first radio interview?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great. Well, I'm honored
that
you would be here with me.
No, I'm honored.
And let me say this. stories. People love stories. You know, there's an old American Indian saying, in other words, Native American saying, tell me a truth and I'll believe. Tell me a fact and I'll learn. But if you tell me a story, it will live in my heart forever. So plentiful stories, and be free to go into details. So tell me a story where you feel, before you knew Jesus, that he was in fact there for you.
Okay. I'll talk about this in the book. It's a heavy German community, Pennsylvania Dutch, Pennsylvania German. And so at Christmas time, people celebrated Christmas many times in those old traditions. Mm. And there were two homes in the community. One that they convert their living room into a German putz. What's a German putz? It would be like today you would have model trains running. Well, they had no model trains. They used what they did in Germany. They made villages and mountains and cities and whatever, and they made it look like Christmas. So people would go to that home, and we would enjoy that. They were Christian people, born-again Christian people. At the time, I didn't know. All I knew was they were religious. But from that home, you would go to the house next door, and these people were related, and these people were born-again Christians also. And now this is very important to my salvation, because in their home, they had like a dogwood tree, of course, no leaves on it, but they would decorate it with Christmas paper gifts, that they wrap gifts in Christmas paper for different age groups and sex. If you were a young boy, you got this, and young girls, so forth. And in each of those gifts, there was a gospel tract. Now, the ladies, she would always say, now, children, make sure you read that tract. Well, and don't throw it away. Take it home. So that was sort of the beginning, even though I didn't understand everything I was reading in there. But this is the interesting part of the story.
Mm.
Okay, from there, years later, when I was about 14 years old, we went to a Christian dentist in town, Dr. Donald DeLancey. And
DeLancey is my mother's maiden name,
by the way. Is that right?
Yes.
Donald DeLancey, he was, of course, a young man. He was the son of these people that had this tree that gave out these Christmas gifts, okay? Mm. Now, him and his wife invited us to go to a Baptist church, and we attended there Sunday evenings because we went to the Lutheran church in the morning. But Sunday evening, so we went there for a couple months, and then finally there was an evangelistic meeting at a large Baptist church in a community a little distance away. And there is where I received the Lord as my Savior, under the ministry of a man, Jack Wurtzen.
I knew Jack.
Yes.
Did you know that I knew him?
No, I didn't.
Jack Wurtzen at Word of Life.
Word of Life.
In Scroon Lake, New York.
Yes.
Oh, my word. Harry Ballback?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
It was under that, and I was 14 years old. Yeah.
14 years of age.
Yeah.
And that's when you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus.
Yeah. And I remember the message.
That, what was the message that put you over the top and made
the message.
You? Yeah.
In the Lutheran church, like I said, I was always trying to be a good person, trying to whatever, you know, I was an acolyte and I belonged to the Luther League and everything.
An acolyte?
Well, where you assist in the service by lighting the candles.
Oh, okay. And so you thought by doing good works, this would get you entree into heaven.
I even would help with the communion. I would go back and forth to the altar and bring the plates down to the pastor who passed out. People came forward and received it at the front of the church, the elements. But anyway, so I was very active in that. But when I heard the message Jack had that night was religious but lost. religious but lost.
And you actually, I was religious. You amaze me. You actually remember this.
Oh, yeah. I told you I have a good memory.
Yeah, this entire book, religious but lost. Oh, my word.
That was the message. But now this is interesting. We sat on the pew, right at the edge of the pew, at the aisle. And I was at the end, then my brother Paul, and then my sister, because we were the oldest. We were only a year apart in age.
Oh, so were the babies born, other babies born yet? Or?
Much later, yeah, like
later.
12, 13 years later.
Oh, so they didn't exist yet.
No, no. So
there were just the three of you. Would end up being how many siblings later on?
There were six of us.
Yeah. Oh, six. Oh, yeah. That's not so bad.
There were six of us boys and one sister. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in the book I write very briefly about the children, about my siblings.
Yeah, but let's go back to you're sitting on the pew.
Yeah,
with
sitting
your...
on the pew, and my brother Paul, and then my sister are next. And when the invitation was given to come forward, I thought, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to get saved tonight. So I'm the first one to leave.
Really?
And as I'm leaving, my brother Paul and my sister are following me right behind. And their salvation was genuine. They didn't do it because I went forward. There was something in our family, I believe, that some things that were instilled. And I talk about how we were raised in the book. I think you'll find it interesting.
Growing up in the greatest generation.
Yeah.
So tell me, I marvel at this because, you know, my favorite preacher of all time is Dr. Billy Graham.
Yes.
I had the privilege of interviewing him,
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was the humblest, kindest, sweetest man maybe I ever lived in my life. Now, I have to be careful because that I'm not fawning over him because of how well known. But I will tell you this, I never had a dad. So for me, our time together, he was so loving and kind that he gave me an insight of how the Father, though he's a spirit and not flesh, would treat me should he be in person. And it was a great gift of God.
Yeah.
Now, what I wonder about, I watch Billy Graham frequently now on YouTube.
Yeah.
And as I said, remember I told you he was humble?
Yes.
Well, recently I was at a church where the pastor was going on and on, so I got out my iPhone. And I went to YouTube because I frequently watch these videos.
Yeah.
And I checked out all the videos. The longest one I found was, I think, 27 minutes. In other words, Dr. Billy Graham, one of the greatest orators that ever lived, perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest evangelist other than the disciples and Jesus himself, never spoke over a half an hour.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.